For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
All right, rolling on into hour number two on a Tuesday morning edition of the AM Drive, courtesy of Roller Auctions. Don't forget Roller Auctions' Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. There is a contractor and rental yard equipment auction today. Check it out, as it's open for your bidding at rollerauction.com. By the way, you can get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. They're having them each and every day. The Avalanche are home tonight against the Montreal Canadiens, looking for their 10th straight win, which is a hard thing to do in any sport, but certainly the NHL. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
We talked a little bit yesterday about whether or not the Avs are the best team in hockey. Slow the roll a little bit. There are teams that have certainly been more consistent all season long. Sean pointed out Florida. I don't disagree.
Carolina's been in that
Carolina
mix
has been in
month
that mix,
after month. Yep.
Certainly. Vancouver loses last night. The Avs are in a situation where not only are they playing now for the top seed in the West and the home ice advantage that comes with it, they are playing for home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. That is where we have gotten to, in large part, because of the play of Nathan MacKinnon. Now, we talked about yesterday their depth. We talked about the moves they made at the trade deadline. We talked about the fact now that you have capable lines at the third and the fourth lines that are doing their jobs and even providing points for this team. But I want to talk about Nathan MacKinnon with you, Sean, about a guy that has carried the freight really all season long. You had Val Nichushkin going out fairly early, well, not fairly early, but has missed enough time that it's created some challenges. You had Mikko Rantanen, who has been, he's been on fire lately, and it seems ridiculous when you're talking about a guy at 90-some points having a little bit of an off season. But he did have what for him relatively was a bit of a slow start.
There was a drought, yeah.
A little bit of a slow start. But the one constant all season has been Nathan MacKinnon. To some degree, Cale Makar in the way that he plays. But MacKinnon is playing, correct me if I'm wrong, at a different level. Now, last year, he popped it to, what, 111 or whatever, however many points. Now he's on a pace that could see 140. At a time when guys really don't get 140-point seasons. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute, too. But what has changed the most about Nathan MacKinnon, who has always been one of the best players in the NHL, but is he on a strata now that is different in that he can literally carry a team through a good portion of the season, wait for the cavalry to get back, and now all of a sudden here they are in a position to challenge for another cup?
Well, at the age of 28 now,
and 28,
now you're in your absolute prime. Nathan MacKinnon has also been renowned as a diet and workout warrior, to the point Nikita Zadorov, former player, used to joke that at one point, I guess he had an ice cream and MacKinnon shouted at him in the locker room about it. And it was all, to an extent, fun and games. But as soon as Zadorov was on the crack, and the first thing he did on social media was he posted him up at the ice cream truck holding an ice cream and saying, you know, I won't get yelled at by Nathan MacKinnon because of this. So MacKinnon is in peak physical condition. He is one of those guys. The Avalanche don't have an active captain. They didn't vote for one this year. They left it with Landeskog, who's on long-term injured reserve. But there are many ways to lead. And I think what you're seeing with Nathan MacKinnon is the kind of leadership that you get with a Nikola Jokic, in which the Nuggets have, over time, just kind of coalesced into his team. They play Nikola Jokic's way. Nathan MacKinnon is ready for every game, every period, every shift. He treats every single one of them as important. And when you have a guy that achieves at that level, he doesn't have to go yell at people by default. As a professional, you're going to realize, like, I have to keep up with this guy, or I'm going to look bad. This is the way that Nathan MacKinnon leads. He's the best guy. He's the best guy because he works the hardest. And, of course, he has remarkable skill. But you can't have Nathan MacKinnon's skill, but you can work as hard. And that's the kind of leadership that he's shown. And I think it's started to move along the Avalanche as well. So there's lots of different ways to lead. I think he's grown into that part, too. And the Avalanche followed. The Avs are very talented players. As you mentioned, Rantanen is sixth in the league in scoring. Cale Makar is 17th in the league in scoring, and he's a defenseman, second among defensemen, because he also had a big drought, and Quinn Hughes of Vancouver moved ahead of him. But MacKinnon's consistency has been remarkable. He's scored in every home game. He's pursuing Wayne Gretzky's record. I don't care if Wayne Gretzky's record for as many times as he flipped a nickel and it came up heads in a row is what you're chasing. If it's a Wayne Gretzky record and you're chasing it, that's good. And so I think when you're seeing the situation that MacKinnon's in, he's kind of reached that level in which I think a lot of people hoped he would reach, where he is clearly as good as any player in the league, and he puts fear into other teams that are skating against him. He frightens teams on every shift when the puck is on his stick because he's a gifted passer, but this year he may also even get to 50 goals.
And I think he has a fear factor in his own locker room.
He does.
That works.
You don't want to let him down. Well. And it's a bit... While MacKinnon is hyper-intense and Jokic is extremely loose,
it's the same
you
thing.
You don't want to let that guy down.
There is an accountability that is almost unspoken.
Yep.
And
the Rockies had it when they had Todd Helton.
Sure did.
Same thing.
Right? Same thing. But it's remarkable, the times when I'm at practice, and the joke is amongst those that cover the Avs on a fairly consistent basis, is that MacKinnon will stay on the ice longer so he doesn't have to deal with the media.
Also that.
Which is fine. Yeah. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
As a guy in the media, if I'm Nathan MacKinnon, I'd do the same thing.
Pretty sure I would too. But more times than not, he will be the last guy out there tipping in, redirecting pucks or working on things from weird angles. I mean, you'll see him firing shots from the back line and curiously getting them into the net. I mean, you know, just my point is the guy will never ask anything from anyone else that he won't do two times over first.
Right.
And those are the types of guys that have very different kind of leadership skills that don't fit into the grab guys by the scruff of your neck mold that is kind of old school when you think of leaders. Really vocal guys, rah-rah guys. It's proof positive that you really don't need to have that. And to have Nikola Jokic and Nathan MacKinnon, who we talked about yesterday,
simultaneously
with what they're doing in their respective sports, then the way that they've both evolved at a very similar rate, and by the way, very similar ages, almost exactly, have evolved as leaders in very similar but atypical fashions. It's remarkable.
We look at the McKinnon's 122 points, which is second in the league behind Nikita Kucherov. And by the way, don't be surprised if Connor McDavid wins the points total again, because he has 9 in the last 3 games.
But I don't think he's going to win the Hart.
No. And here's the thing that's remarkable. Nathan McKinnon's a plus 31. Nikita Kucherov, who's a brilliant player, is a plus 6. Among forwards in the NHL, can you imagine, we're talking about the top leading, at least number 2 in the entire league in scoring. 1 point out of the top in scoring. He's plus 31. Out of every single other forward in the league, do you know how many of them have a better plus minus than Nathan McKinnon?
I can't imagine many.
The answer is 0.
Okay, there you go.
0. The only players that have higher plus minuses, and there are not very many of them. There are 5, as a matter of fact. They're all defensemen, as you expect. Only one, of course, Quinn Hughes, the aforementioned defenseman from Vancouver, who may end up taking the Norris from Cale Makar, if possible, who has 81 points. But no forward whatsoever has a better plus minus than Nathan McKinnon. And that's indicative. That's a reason that that stat matters in hockey. It's indicative of how you're making your teammates better. How many times you're on the ice when your team scores. And that can be done because of the assists, of which McKinnon has plenty of them. He has 78. But how many times is it because of the attention paid to Nathan McKinnon that somebody else scores? Whether it's Nichushkin, whether it's Rantanen, whether it's Makar, whether it's Taves, whether it's Jonathan Drouin, who, by the way, who was on the ice when Drouin scored the game winner in overtime?
Nathan McKinnon.
McKinnon. And who are you going to pay attention to first and foremost? McKinnon.
Yeah.
And so that stat matters. And that's why McKinnon should be the Hart winner. Even if he doesn't come away with the points, it's because he makes his team better. And everything you want out of a player, durability, ability, leadership ability, no matter how it looks, making your team better on the ice, whether you have the puck on your stick or not, he checks all the boxes. He's become, over the course of his career, a responsible forechecker and a good defensive player.
Yeah.
He's gotten even a little better at faceoffs. It's not his strong suit, but he's gotten a little better at it. There are no more holes in Nathan McKinnon's game, offensively or defensively. He is single-handedly the best, most overall complete forward in the game.
And I know Connor McDavid is one of those guys that every time he has the puck on the end of his stick,
he may have 100 assists this year.
It's remarkable, right? But isn't Nathan McKinnon still the most breathtaking skater with the puck in the game? There are times when he does, and I'm not, I don't profess to be deep into all of the cracks of the NHL. So I'm sure I'm missing someone. And I pay a lot of attention to the Avs.
He's as dangerous with the puck on his stick as anybody in the league. We've watched him skate through 4 guys.
Right.
4.
Yeah. I mean,
watched him do it this year multiple times.
His quickness, his explosiveness, and then his ability to finish when he gets there.
Great hands.
My God, he's able, and he's able to change what he's doing on a moment's notice. It's remarkable.
Let me give you a corollary for that, because you hit on, I think, the important part. When people look at Nathan McKinnon and they think about what's making him special, especially when they hear maybe announcers talk about his speed, the equivalent would be Barry Sanders. I wasn't concerned, and most people weren't concerned with, like, Barry Sanders' straight line speed. It was plenty good, right? But nobody ever said Barry Sanders is the very fastest player in the NFL. He was, but it's the fact that he can change directions without losing much speed.
Yeah.
McKinnon's gift is his burst, his acceleration. He's at full speed in 2 strides. He changes directions without losing speed. It's Barry Sanders like.
Yeah, very much.
And that, as you can imagine, much like Sanders, it makes it hard to get a clean shot on him.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so dangerous, plus his ability to finish. And that's why when he's skating, breathtaking is the right word, because that's the closest athlete comparison, even though you have to go outside of hockey to do it. He is the Barry Sanders of the NHL.
Going for his 35th straight game at home with at least a point tonight. That is a staggering
number.
He only
played 41, folks.
That is absolutely staggering. Hey, don't forget, being overweight sucks. Who can forget that? We all know it. But now there's a revolutionary way to feel better beyond stem cells. Has medical weight loss treatment that accelerates weight loss. It's called semaglutide therapy. So what is it? Well, the therapy provides an additional 15 to 20% reduction in body weight in comparison to a 2 to 3% reduction in body weight when using traditional diets and exercise. Sounds good, doesn't it? Look better, feel better today with Beyond Stem Cells. Change your life today and go to beyondstemcellsdenver.com or call 1-833-720-STEM. That's 1-833-720-7836. When we continue, Deion Sanders, again, in the news, dictating direction for players that he is ready to cede to the NFL. Really? That as we continue on Morning Drive.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hear her heartbeat from a thousand miles. Yeah, the heavens open.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Alex, nice job taking it down a notch. Get a point.
Can never go wrong with Van Morrison.
You can't. Right. Well, I mean, I've worked with you on Van Morrison.
I thought you were going to say you worked with Van Morrison.
No, whoa. I wouldn't. No, no.
But it's early for me. My brain's not entirely
Van
engaged.
Morrison to me is one of those, once you really stop for a moment and if you can take a breath and slow down, you will always listen to Van Morrison. Just his tones.
A little deep breath. And
it's just, yeah. It's really good stuff. I hear he's not an easy guy to work with, but you know what? The music is the music. That's all I've got for you. The music is the music. Sean Drotar in with us on a Tuesday. Glad to have you with us. Where are we now? What's trending now? No, it's the buzz, right?
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
All right, appearing on the $1 million with a Z worth of game podcast last Friday, Deion Sanders talking about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, saying that he expected both to be taken in the first four picks of the 2025 draft. All right, let's start there. Sounds pretty reasonable to me. I think Shedeur is going to be the first quarterback off the board. Hey, Deion's already told us he would have been the second quarterback off the board this year.
I actually suspect he would
have. And I think he probably would have been.
I agree.
I don't disagree with that at all. So far, so good. Then added a warning, and I quote, "I know where I want them to go. There are certain cities where it ain't going to happen. It's going to be Eli." I got to chuckle about that because I love the reference. Eli Manning, of course, drafted by the Chargers, forcing a trade to the Giants. What was your initial reaction just to the statement itself? Because I've got to tell you, it doesn't bother me as much as it might bother some others.
I just understand that with Deion Sanders, the idea of control is important to him.
Right.
And obviously you're talking about his son and a guy in Travis Hunter, who Deion Sanders cares about, like
might as well a be son. A son, right?
And yeah. Is very concerned about, and by the way, Travis Hunter, an all conference academic this year,
which
as
is
well.
Fantastic.
In case you might've missed that.
Yeah.
But the idea there of trying to manipulate the draft, I just don't know how much you can really do that.
Hard to do.
I mean, you're talking about Eli Manning, and then who was the last guy to do that before that? Another E.L. Elway, who basically made it clear he wouldn't play for the Colts and got himself traded to the Denver Broncos.
Right.
But it doesn't happen very often. And you heard sort of rumors that Caleb Williams might come back if he didn't like the team he was going to. I don't know how much you can really pull that. And I understand why it does rub people the wrong way. But I think with Deion Sanders and over the course of his career, player, coach, what have you, there's a lot of talking and a lot of crowing, and some of it happens and some of it doesn't. And I think it's just Deion Sanders. And I think you get the same thing out of a Jerry Jones. There's a lot of talking and some of it happens and some of it doesn't. Will he advise his son? Yes, at a certain point, if Shedeur Sanders doesn't have any eligibility left, well, you're going where you're going.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Sure.
And I think this is more of the idea he'd like to advise and maybe plant the seeds that for certain teams it might not be a fit. Okay, but I don't really know that that's going to affect any NFL team. NFL teams are going to do what they want to do.
I think you've got to consider the source. It makes perfect sense coming from the source.
Is that what you'd want as a parent?
Absolutely.
Of course you would. Do you want him going to an organization that's been in disarray? Quite frankly, the one that's playing in this town?
You mean the one right down the street?
I wouldn't blame him. If I was Deion Sanders right now, would I want Shedeur Sanders as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos? Probably not.
Probably not.
Only the Jets have a longer playoff, less season streak. So you'd rather go somewhere else. Now, you don't have total control over it. But, you know, talking about it on a podcast? No, not concerned about that. So, you know, I'm not really bothered by any of that.
And I will say this. Living in an age of NIL, the empowerment of the athlete is a much more real possibility as we move forward. And I do think that there are going to be youngsters that come through NIL, and the idea that they can have a say in their destiny. I don't know how it's going to work out, because you can't just take the draft system and turn it on its head. That's not going to happen.
NIL allows you as an underclassman to decide. For example, when Arch Manning, if he turns out to be as good a prospect as people hope, if he looks at the draft in any particular situation and goes, okay, I don't like the teams picking at the top of the draft. Well, you're making $10 million a year in NIL money. I can imagine when I was that age, college would be much more of, look, I enjoyed it anyway. I would enjoy it a lot more if you're BMOC and making $10 million and don't have to go pro and get beat up by guys that are 30. Kind of enticing. And so you can game it to that point, but once you're out of eligibility, you're out of eligibility, and the NFL knows that too.
Yes.
So, yes, you can game the system to an extent, and you could make the argument that Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders did it already because he could have gone pro this year.
RG3 on GetUp yesterday doubled down. The power shift is coming, says the former Heisman Trophy winner. So everyone needs to buckle up. All these college coaches have been running to the NFL because they're upset that college players have a little more power and a little more say now. Well, guess what? These same kids that are running away from, they're running away from, are the same ones that are going to be coming up the ranks and coming into the NFL in the next few years. There's a basis of truth in that.
Sure there is.
I mean, but how much does it change the way that business is done? Because at the end of the day, the shield is the shield.
It is. And at the same time, the counterpoint that RG3 makes, I think, is solid. You know,
it is.
Is it capitalism or is it not capitalism?
Right.
And it now with the NIL world, and this is, and the funny thing is, right, NIL, and I didn't come up with it. I pardon the person who did, but kind of the joke is now it's legal. In other words, everyone knows that for the blue blood schools, the big money schools, and I don't even need to name them because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Sure.
But we all know the big schools, put it this way, if they're regularly in the top 10 for decades, players are getting either paid under the table or they're getting perks or they're getting all these sort of things. We've known this for literally, Bruce, that's been happening before you and I were born.
Oh, my God, yes. It's time-honored.
So it's happened forever. Now, all of a sudden, and I'm not suggesting that Nick Saban ran because of it. I'm not. Nick Saban proved everything he wanted to prove. But I can understand that Nick Saban, at his age and with nothing left to really prove, might be like, you know what? This is just more work than I feel like doing. I'm just going to bail. But this is because, guess what? The players are the one bringing the money into the university, and now they're getting their piece of the pie, and they don't have to go through the university and a Byzantine network of donors, alums, to whatever, to make sure all this gets sort of shuffled under the rug. And yeah, okay, that doesn't bother me. I'm a players. I always said in my career, I'm a players over owners guy. I'm a players over university guy. I'm a players guy because players win football games. Players, not coaches, not programs, not teams. Players win games. And they're the ones, as far as I'm concerned, that they should go and get every dollar they deserve. Their careers are short. There's a limited amount of opportunity to maximize it. And whatever happens, happens. From my mind, I'm like, let the chips fall where they may after that.
Well, it's the great American way. It's supply and demand.
It? Right?
I mean, are you kidding me? It's what this country economically has been founded on, and how it supposedly functions on a day-to-day basis. So it that's crazy, if you ask me. But so it goes. It's a very interesting proposition, because I do think that we will have more and more of the Caleb Williams, I'm going to take my ball and go home if I don't like it.
But
this
it's
way.
Making college sports better. Look at the parity in college basketball.
No question.
At the parity in college football, because now kids who were, and that and the preponderance of television changed things entirely. Because if you look at the way it was not too long ago, right? If you were one of the most talented players in Notre Dame college, you'd go to Notre Dame and you would sit on the bench for 3 years, hoping in your senior year you could play, because you knew you played at Notre Dame, at least everyone could see you. And your stuff would get put on tape, and then you could go maybe to the NFL. Well, now every game is on television. Every play is somewhere on YouTube, or it's accessible. And so now if you're that kid that's going to have to bide their time for 3 years to maybe play at Notre Dame as a senior, but you can go to Utah State.
Yeah.
And you can start on day one and start putting stuff on tape. Why would you not? Because they can find you there. They find you ever. We've had two guys picked out of North Dakota State in the top five.
Jordan Love played at Utah State, by the way.
They found him?
Right. The Packers found
him. North Dakota State's had two top five draft picks.
Yep, sure have.
They're not even D1.
Right.
Or what we used to call D1. So it changes that dynamic. Now you add NIL to it, and the talent. Now players are going to go where they can play. They're no longer, I have to go to Bama. I have to go to Notre Dame. I have to go to Michigan. I have to go to Ohio State. I have to go to Texas, because that's how I'm going to get on television. Now it's about, are you good enough to play and make your name? Where you play isn't necessarily as important. And that is another thing that shifts the momentum and the levers of power towards the players. And that is definitely unsettling to an NCAA and to a lot of universities and coaches that have been used to just saying, well, we're Ohio State, for example. That's all the recruiting we have to do. Now you don't. Now the Utah State's the
Gotta
world
work
can take your guy.
Yep, I agree.
That's the reality.
It is the reality. It's
good for players, and it's good for the game.
Yeah,
What's not good for is coaches and old power, which boo-hoo, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? When we continue, Sean Payton talking J.J. McCarthy yesterday, talking about moving up in the draft, says it's realistic. Talked about also all sorts of things with Jarrett Stidham moving forward. How much of a vote of confidence did Jarrett Stidham get? We'll talk about that as we continue coming on here as we on AM Drive.
Amen. 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 Take me to church. I worship like a dog at the shrine of your light.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
John Drotar with us, as he will be through tomorrow. We appreciate him doing a little double duty also with the great Sandy Clough from 4 to 6 every afternoon on Mile High Sports as well. All right, owners' meetings in the NFL going on in Orlando. Sean Payton yesterday getting with his homies in the media, saying, amongst other things, I think we have a pretty good plan in place. We understand what we are doing. We are going to be smart about it. What do you suppose is the plan at this point?
Well, at the moment,
because if it's a good plan, I want to know what a good plan looks like right now for the Broncos.
Well, from my mind, obviously, you have to, I think, make a move for a quarterback.
It's going to happen, isn't it?
Whether you like one of the guys here or you really love one of the guys here, I think you can't function without a quarterback.
I agree.
And Sean Payton probably can only kick the can down the road so far without drafting one and developing one, which is something he's never done.
Well, Sean, look, they did nothing in free agency at all.
No.
They are almost in a place where you have to draft a quarterback.
They're backed into a corner, yes. And this is where it's interesting in the draft, right? You pointed it out, lying season, as our friend Jeff Legwald calls it. And he's right, because at a certain point, you want everyone to believe that you have the options to go in all these directions, right? But I think that we understand that the Broncos don't. And there's a couple things, and we'll hear about the draft. Oh, we'll just take the best available player. Well, that's not actually the case either. It never is. Like reminding people, every time you hear that, add the words at a position of need behind it. Because, you know, for example, if you're, the Bengals, you're not going to draft a quarterback with your first pick. If you're the Chiefs, you're not going to draft a quarterback. I don't care if it is the best player available. You won't. You draft for need. You're filling holes. For the Broncos, where their picks are, the plan is probably take a bunch of special teamers and hope that they're better than that.
Absolutely.
That's where their draft picks are.
And you know what?
They got fifth and sixth rounders.
That may be the only thing really available to them at this point. And you know what? They have need there.
It needs everywhere.
They have need everywhere. That's the problem. As it relates to Jarrett Stidham, I'm not sure that there was more cold water poured on Jarrett Stidham yesterday than there was something hopeful. Now, remember, this is a guy that he went out and signed. He went out and sought this guy out last year.
Gave him $10 million.
Gave him $10 million over the course of 2 years and has seen him now for an entire year. You're darn right that he understands what he has.
Did you see a spark in the final two games? Did
negative.
You see that spark they were looking
that
for?
That would be a strong negative. But listen to some of the verbiage that he's using here. Yeah, I will try not to assign a tone. I'll just read the words. He's definitely competing to be a starter. I'm sure there will be other candidates who will be competing with him. We felt like he had some upside last year. Does anything change in those last two games leading into this season? I can't say it in fairness to him or the process definitively that anything did other than we still really feel positive about this player. Not exactly a ringing endorsement about Jarrett Stidham, who right now is literally the only guy that could take any. I mean, Ben DiNucci is in the fold, but Jarrett Stidham is right now two months away from the beginning of OTAs. He's really the only quarterback right now that they could have take snaps in an NFL game.
Right. It's certainly not going to be a DiNucci. But, here's the thing. Let's look over at the Pittsburgh Steelers, where they now have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, which is kind of an interesting scenario as well. But even as Mike Tomlin said flat out, and when he was asked about that this week, we're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. The term I've used is Russell has pole position, and why do I use that term? Because during this time, we're not formally working. In other words, Russell Wilson is the starter until he's not. Even Mike Tomlin isn't saying Russell Wilson is going to compete for the starting job.
Right.
He's saying Russell Wilson is the starter.
Right.
Sean Payton won't say Jared Stidham is the starter, and he has, just has Ben DiNucci on the
roster.
And
he only has one quarterback, essentially, that could take snaps in the NFL right now.
So if you're Jared Stidham, you're not the guy.
No.
You're looking. They're looking for the next guy already. Now, is that next guy going to be in the number 12 selection in the draft? Or do they kick the can down the road and grab some veteran and just say, the heck with it, and we'll try again next draft when you will have better than the number 12 pick?
I mean, you go get a guy now after you've gone all the way through free agency because you don't have a lot of options.
Now,
it's basically Ryan Tannehill.
Carson Wentz.
Or Carson Wentz at this point? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Is that really where we are at this? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Very simply,
it is.
The answer is yes. This is my question. When you have gone through 7-8 years of not going to the playoffs, 7 years of losing football, and you wake up with 5.5 as your number for an over-under, you've got one basic quarterback in the stable 2 months before the beginning of the season, wouldn't you think that the Broncos would be somewhere further down the lane in terms of trying to get where they should be at this point?
You would hope so. But the problem is, after making the trade for Russell Wilson, and ownership can't wash their hands of this. Ownership was in play.
They were.
After making the trade for Russell Wilson, you picked a direction. You did. You picked a direction. You traded for a guy that at the time was considered a future Hall of Famer. And that was the direction. You were going to go. You were going to be Russell Wilson's second act. And you were going to go. There's no way you traded for Russell Wilson and didn't say, do a cursory, at least, observation of his career and realize right. This is a guy that rolls out, looks for the deep shots down the sideline, doesn't use the middle of the field. Not a secret.
No.
His entire career.
That's who he is.
You picked a direction. Then you picked a different direction when you got Sean Payton,
yep.
Who doesn't see that in any of the same way. And now Sean Payton has to completely reinvent the team into his image. So then you changed directions. The Broncos have to pick a lane and stay in it. I think they're doing it. This is going to be Sean Payton's way.
Yep.
The question is, will Sean Payton's way work? Because as much as I hear when people talk about Sean Payton's is a brilliant coach, he won a Super Bowl, don't question it. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl too.
Mm-hmm.
He went to two of them. And his Super Bowl was more recent than Sean Payton's.
Yeah.
So Payton is the guy to me that has more to prove.
Oh, and clearly.
We know that the Broncos and Sean Payton did not initially hit it off. We know that at least multiple reports had Condoleezza Rice, one of the Broncos owners, having to get the Penner Group and Payton back to the table. Sean Payton wanted the Dallas Cowboys, who he thought would be available. That didn't happen. The Broncos and Sean Payton ended up together, even though neither of them was their first choice.
Yeah.
The Broncos would rather have D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans looked at the Broncos situation and said, I'm good,
yeah.
Thanks. Didn't even take the interview. So you have a coach and an organization that are with each other, despite the fact that neither had the other as their first choice. But now we're supposed to hear you should only pick a quarterback that you absolutely love.
Yeah.
Well, the Broncos seem to be love the one you're with a little more than go after somebody. So maybe picking Bo Nix in the 12th is par for the course for this team.
I think Bo Nix with the 12th or maybe a little later is almost a logical conclusion.
I wouldn't even trade down, though. I wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah.
You start gaining things
done.
In the draft.
Just get it
if
done.
If that's the guy you want, yep. Just pick him at 12.
And just get it over with.
Don't mess with
move
it.
Move on, right? All right. When we continue, the final word. What do we got coming up?
We will, in fact, get a Sweet 16 rematch on the women's side involving Colorado and Iowa. And we'll talk a little more about the update about the Broncos uniforms that will be unveiled in the next few weeks. That's all coming up next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
All right, Alex, thank you very much. Sean Drotar finishing up a Tuesday morning. He'll be back in the afternoon from 4 to 6 with Sandy Clough, and will rejoin us tomorrow. Eric will be back on Thursday. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running, or order online at argonautliquor.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, last night in the second round of the women's NCAA tournament, number one seeded Iowa defeated number eight West Virginia 64-54 to set up the rematch against Colorado in the Sweet 16. That'll be on Saturday in Albany, and the game will be at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time on ABC, so a huge opportunity for national exposure for the Buffs. It's also just the second time in Colorado women's basketball history that CU will play on national network TV. Thoughts on Iowa's win and the Sweet 16 rematch with Colorado?
Well, Colorado's played them before. That will help. Will demystify the process a little bit. Also, West Virginia kind of gave them a nice little bit of film last night to kind of watch. That was a kind of a muck-it-up kind of effort. And the fact that they held them to 64, 65 points is a good blueprint for CU, which, frankly, I think is a better defensive team than West Virginia probably is.
Yeah, I feel that they're much better. I mean, this is a team that hangs its hat on defense in Colorado's terms. They are going to be the underdogs. They're going to be significant underdogs. But then again, West Virginia was a 14.5-point underdog. And for the vast majority of that
game, on their home floor,
it was a 5-point game.
It sure was.
Until things fell apart late. And so I think that Colorado, the old ESPN analytics, have the Buffs at a 32.6% chance of winning. In other words, 1-3. I actually think that's about right.
Okay.
Because of their defensive ability. But the beauty for it with the Buffs, you're in a no-lose scenario. If you do lose to the Iowa Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clark, everyone's going to look at it and be like, well, yeah, it's Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
You won't lose any standing if you happen to win, though.
Wow.
House money for the Buffs.
No question.
Can't go wrong.
I love it. Trip to the Elite Eight sounds pretty good to me.
And a rematch with LSU, perhaps?
How cool would that be, right? Especially with everything going on around that
Give
program.
Give me all of that smoke.
Potentially.
Ooh, get your popcorn ready.
Yep.
All right, just in case you missed it, as you mentioned in the first hour, Broncos are getting new uniforms that will be unveiled in the next few weeks. Broncos president Damani Leach said they will use the same logo and the same colors in a full redesign of the uniform. Leach also said a goal of the uniforms is wanting to evolve and be new and different while also being respectful to our history and traditions. Do you like the Broncos using the same logo, or would you like to see them kind of go back to that royal blue?
Well, I'm a capital D with the Bronco guy. I will admit, and that's as far as I'll go with the uniforms. I don't go too far into the weeds with the uniforms. I do think Damani Leach, by the way, might be one of the most even keeled, intelligent, makes sense kind of guys that the Broncos have working for them right now.
That's a really good point.
The guy he is
a major asset,
no question. This guy is just absolute money. I love the way he handles things. It's always a very encouraging but measured tone. I love the message, and I think that, good, you look forward to tweaking it a little bit, but you maintain, you tentacles to your history because you don't want to change a good thing. I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it. And look, if you're the Broncos, it couldn't come at a better time frame because obviously they haven't been winning. At least you can distract them with new uniforms.
Yeah, exactly. Throw some smoke and mirrors at them. That's the final word, courtesy of our friends from Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, check out the great deals at Argonaut Wine and Liquor at argonautliquor.com. Don't forget, they will deliver to you anywhere in the Denver area. Nigel, Alex, tip of the hat to you guys as always. Better than I deserve. That's for sure. Sean, thank you very much for the time. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great time this afternoon. We'll have a good one tomorrow for you. Have a good one, everybody. Later.